The Holy Gospel, this ninth Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter. Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Our gospel reading this morning is one that a lot of us know pretty well. Now, last week we had our parable that we like to refer to as the Good Samaritan. And this week we have Mary and Martha. These are pretty familiar parables. So how many of us, when we hear the phrase Mary and Martha, instantly resent Mary just a little bit? Maybe a few of us, you know, just a little bit. Now, how many of us have heard the phrase being a Martha? Being a Martha? Some of you maybe have been accused of being a Martha. Now, are some of you Marthas and are proud of it? Maybe, just a little bit. So I need you all to do something for me. I want you all to imagine everything that you have heard about this text of Mary and Martha. Take everything you have heard, kind of put it in a spreadsheet in your mind or some sort of paper in your mind, all the baggage, all the various ways you've heard this text preached on and all the readings you've heard about this text. Take that sheet of paper in your mind, just crumple it up and throw it in the recycle bin for a while. You're not going to need it. At least for the next 10 or 15 minutes. Because one of the biggest issues that we have with familiar texts is we aren't fully capable of actually hearing what these texts say anymore. The moment the name Martha came up for a bunch of us, I'm sure that all these other thoughts started spinning in our heads. So after we've kind of recycled some of those memories and some of our baggage from the Mary and Martha story, I invite us to hear a portion of this gospel reading again. Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." I'll be honest. We hear this text, and we probably do think to ourselves that Martha needs to be a little more like Mary. Mary is listening to Jesus while silly Martha's doing all this work. But isn't that what Martha is supposed to do? Isn't that what society tells us is the duty of the host, especially in Hebrew culture? Let's look back on our Genesis text. Abraham sees three men whom he perceives to be of divine origin near his tent, and he invites them not only to come and rest under his tree while he tends to their needs, but then he gives them water for their feet. And then he offers them bread. And then beyond that, then he goes and gets a calf. For Abraham, the role of a host is very important, as it is for Martha. You see, our gospel reading this morning reminds us that it is Martha who invites Jesus into her home. Martha has a societal responsibility to be a good host. What else would she do but prepare for her Lord whatever he might need? Now, the gospel tells us that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And maybe she was also just a little bit distracted by the fact that her sister is sitting in the main area of the house listening to Jesus instead of helping her out. Let's be honest. I think it's a little bit too simplistic to say that Martha is just upset because she's doing all the work and Mary is doing nothing, but also to say that Martha is doing the wrong thing by doing the work of hospitality rather than focusing on Jesus. No, indeed, it might be that Martha is doing the wrong thing not because she should be more like Mary, but because she herself is divided by her tasks. Martha, instead of focusing on her role as host, begins to resent her sister. Maybe it's simple as Martha wanting to be listening to Jesus as well, so it would be awful nice if Mary could just help out a little bit so Martha can sit and listen as well. Maybe Mary had previously said that she would help, and then all thoughts of helping have gone out the window the moment Jesus has arrived. We don't know. But I think that Jesus would have been contented with Martha's willingness to serve, and that would have been her part if she really wished to be doing it. After all, the role of being host is paramount in Hebrew society. But we know that Martha is not satisfied, and the fact that her sister seems oblivious for her need of help doesn't help matters any. So Martha does what any sister would do if they were 12 years old. She tattles on Mary to Jesus. You see, I truly believe that Martha's work as host was worthy of her. And I believe the age-old phrase of being a Martha is not truly a bad thing. It suggests someone who wants to do the labor for the host for the sake of those gathered, so that the gathering might be more enjoyable for all. But Martha wasn't really being a Martha. At least, that's not all she was being. Now, did you notice that as Martha gets upset by Mary's lack of support in the tasks that Martha had before her, she doesn't go to Mary to ask for help? Instead, our gospel reading this morning tells us that Martha turns to Jesus and asks Jesus to tell Mary to help her. For Martha, Jesus' authority has become something that perhaps she can use to her advantage with her sister. She doesn't trust her sister to simply help if asked. So perhaps being a Martha is less about the housework and more about how she is relating to her sister. Perhaps there is something a bit more passive-aggressive at play here in this entire reading. I do wonder a little bit what Martha's motivation was for her cleaning work and all the hospitality she was doing. I mostly think that she was working hard to clean and prepare because it was what was expected of her, but I wonder if she was worried about how she might look if she wasn't keeping busy with these tasks. I wonder if she was afraid of what Jesus would think if the one who was supposed to be a host took a break from her work and chose then to sit at her sister's side and just listen to the teachings of Jesus. I wonder if she was afraid that Jesus wouldn't approve. And I think that sometimes this question could be asked of us as well. Are we afraid that Jesus isn't going to approve? There's a bumper sticker that I came across several years ago that still sticks with me to this day. Now, I'll be one of the first people to warn you of the risks of bumper sticker theology, but this bumper sticker has managed to make me think several times in several different ways. The bumper sticker says something along the lines of, "Jesus is coming soon. Look busy." Strangely enough, though, the more I thought about this bumper sticker, the more I realized that it wasn't quite as bad of theology as I first thought. It's actually, in some ways, perfect commentary on how we Christians tend to live our lives. We all have a habit of trying to prove our worth in various parts of our lives. We try to prove our worth as spouses or parents. We try to prove our worth as siblings, employees, friends. And we try to also prove our worth as people who are worthy of being saved, even though we know we already have been saved. Now, we are called to service, but the service that we do doesn't prove our worth. We are all called to work for the sake of the gospel. But doing that work doesn't save us. Christ our Lord has already done it. We, like Martha, have already been graced with the presence of God among us. And because of that, we don't have to just look busy to earn approval. No, I think that we too are invited to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. But more than that, I think we are also given the opportunity to accomplish the work that is set before us. And these two aren't separate dividing things. I do wonder what would have happened if Martha had simply asked Mary directly for help. Maybe she would have been able to sit at the feet of Jesus sooner. I do wonder what would have happened if Martha had been willing to simply take a break. Would she have been renewed enough to accomplish her tasks more effectively? I do know that for myself, I am much more effective in my work if I take time to revel in the blessings that I do have. I do know that when I sit at the feet of Jesus in prayer and in study, long term, I am a more faithful servant. That doesn't mean that there isn't work to do. It simply means that it doesn't all have to be accomplished right this second. Because we are all invited to rest at the feet of Jesus. And by resting at his feet, by dwelling in his word, we are all given the gift of renewal for the work that we do have ahead of us. May we so choose the better part, to orient ourselves first in God's grace. And in that grace, I believe that we do find the work that has been put before us to be worthy and true. Christ is our center. Christ is our focus. And in Christ being our center, all work and all grace flows out from Christ. And the work of the Holy Spirit continues through us all. Amen.